Okay, we're gonna chazer a little bit. We'll start from Nun Vav Amid Aleph. Let's see, we'll start with Abba Sikra. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 lines from where the lines get wide in the bottom. The last 2 words in the line is Abba Sikra. Abba Sikra, raised by Yain of Yerushalayim. Abba Sikra was the head of the Bayanim of Yerushalayim. As we said, the Bayanim were the people in Klal Yisrael who wanted to go out and fight, and they weren't allowing Klal Yisrael to make peace with their enemies. Barach said Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. He was the son of the sister of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's nephew. Habishalach lei. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai sent to him, Tovet sinu l'gaboy, come quietly to me. Asa, he came. Amalei, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said to Abba Sikra, Emes avidatu hachi. Now how long are you going to do this for? You're killing out the whole nation with the hunger. There's no food. As we said, Yomar Pidis, he said that the Bayanim went and destroyed that food for 21 years, and he went and burnt it all. They had no food left. Amalei, my avid. Well, what do you want me to do? The Amina Luhu Midi Kotile. If I try to do something, even though I'm the leader of the Bayanim, they're gonna kill me. Amalei. So Bechem Zakar responded them, Khazile Tekanta. Lididi, the Apik, Efshadahabi Hataleporta. Make sure, I need to get out of here, get me out of this place where we are, and maybe that will be a Hatzalah Porta. We said, explain, a small Hatzalah for you, for Klal Yisrael. Amalei, Nekoit Nafshecha Bektirei. You should make believe like you're sick. V'leisi Kuli Alma V'leshaliba. Send out the word that you are sick, and people should be asking, how is the Bechem and Zakkai feeling? How is the Bechem and Zakkai feeling? V'aisi Midi Sariya V'agni Gabach. You should get something that has a bad smell, a stench, and put it near you. V'limur Denach Nafshech. And then the people are going to say that Bechem and Zakkai died. And you'll have, it's basically going to lie in a coffin. He'll have something that smells next to him, so there'll be a stench coming out, and people will think that he died. But make sure that the pallbearers, the ones that are going to carry your coffin, should be your talmidim and not other people. Why? Because the people should not realize, they should be miraculous, they should feel that you are light. Because they know that a dead person is very heavy and is not light. So if they're going to pick up the armor and they're going to say, oh, this is pretty light, it can't be a dead body in here, they're going to know that you're really alive and you're trying to sneak out. So he did this. Rabbi Elazar went on one side of the coffin and Bishu went on the other. When he came to the entrance of the city, he wanted to leave. They wanted to stab him. They're going to say that you stabbed the rabbi, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Boy, the Milchefe, they wanted to push him. Amaluhu, he answered, Yom Rabban Dachu. You're going to say that you're pushing around, it's not covered to push around even a dead body. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, it's not covered. Physically, that they opened it up on Afak, and he went out. Kimatul Hasam, when he got out, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai right away met the person who was besieging the city of Yerushalayim. Omar, Shlom Aloch Malko. He said twice, peace to the king, peace to the king. Amalei. So he answered him, Mechayev Shrektal, you should be Mechayev two deaths. Chavad Alav Malkana, number one, I'm not the king, but Kakaris the Malka, and you're calling me the king. Vesu, Imalkana, Adid, Amalei Asalegaboy. And on the assumption that you thought I was the king, so then why took you so long to come to me? You should have come to me right away. And as we said last time, that he wasn't really concerned that said he wanted to kill him, said you're Chayiv Misa because you gave cover to me and called me the king even though I wasn't the king. He liked the cover. He was just scared that people would find out that he's accepting cover as if he's the king and it would be dangerous for him, and therefore he said this out loud, that you're Chayiv Misa. Amalei, the Ka'amet La Malka, and the fact that you're tying to me, that I said that I said Shlomo La Malka, and you're not the king. Let me tell you something. Even though you're not the king now, you will be the king. Ibn Malka, you will be the king. The La Malka, because if you were not the king, the Mimser Yushalayim be your cut. There's no way that Yushalayim will be given over in your hands. The Sin, the Halavonayim Ba'adi Ipo, that the Halavonayim, which many are going to say is talking about Yushalayim, Ba'adi, with the Gibor Yipo will fall. The Ain Adir El Melech, and the Lashon of Adi of a Gibor, is only by a king, the Ksiv Ahaya Adir Mimenu. Ve'ein Levona el Beis Hamikdash, and Levona is a Halavona in Ba'ad Yipur, Halavona referring to the Beis Hamikdash, not Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, and Levona el Beis Hamikdash, and Nehmar Ahara HaTayv HaZev HaHalavona. So therefore, the fact that you're besieging it, now the question is, we ask, Lamaisi, he didn't capture yet the Beis Hamikdash, this is still in the middle of the siege, but by the fact that they had no food, and there was a hunger, and they were dying, it was as if the Beis Hamikdash was already captured. The Ka'amrit, and the fact, and the fact that you had a question on me, that if I thought you were the king, what took me so long to come to you? They did not let me go out. So he responded to him, if you have a jar, a barrel of honey, and there's a nachash, a darkon is a nachash that is wrapped around it. Like how you're shaving as a chavis b'shil darkon, wouldn't you break the chavis, the barrel, because of the darkon, because of the snake? Ishtik, he was quiet. Didn't respond. Kari Allah, Allah Rabbi Yitamir Rabbi Kiva. This is like a sidebar over here. This is not part of the story here. Kari Allah Rabbi Yisrael Yitamir Rabbi Kiva. Meishiv Chachamim Achar B'daitam Yisrael. The Chachamim are turned backward and their daitam are become Yisrael, like we become foolish. Because he should have answered. Why didn't he answer? If you have a barrel of honey, and you have a snake that's coiled around it, you're gonna break the honey to get rid of the snake? No, you're gonna take tongs, you're gonna get rid of the snake, and you're gonna save the honey. So the reason why Be'echan and Zakai wasn't gonna go and destroy anything, that's not the point. You have to try to get rid of the bayin. That's what he was doing, on the contrary. What did Be'echan and Zakai try to do? He tried to sneak out, and he was trying to get rid of the bayin, because they were the ones causing the problem. But he didn't answer this. And you leave the chavis shekinah law, so you kill the darkon, you kill the snake, and the barrel will remain, which means the Beis Hamikdash Yerushalayim. Adahachi, this is what we were up to from last night. Adahachi, while all this is happening is back and forth. Asa Priska Allah Miraimi, there was a messenger that came from Rome. Amar le kum, the misle kesar, the kesar die. And the Chashuvim of Rome says that you are now going to be the leader, you're going to be elevated to the king, you're going to be the Kesar. Habasayim chad misani boilim asayim elachrina loyayo. He had one shoe on at this point in time. He wanted to put on the other shoe. It didn't go. Boilim mishla for the idach. So he figured, okay, to walk around with one shoe on, one shoe not, is worse than having no shoes on. So after he couldn't get on the second shoe, he tried to get off the shoe that was on his foot, and he couldn't get that off. So he's left with one shoe on and one shoe off. Amar, my high. He asked Rechon and Zakai, what's going on over here? What happened all of a sudden? Amar, leitet star, don't be in tzar. Shmua teiva asyalach. You had a shmua teiva. You heard something good. You had good news. Diksiv shmua teiva tidoshen etzim. A shmua teiva fattens the bones. So because you heard a shmua teiva, your feet got fat. So the shoe that's on him now couldn't come off because it got fat inside the shoe and it basically is stuck there. And the shoe that's not on now is too small because both of his feet are fat. That's your problem. El Maite Kante. What should I do? You should have someone who you don't like so much, someone who gets on your nerves, have him come walk in front of you. When he'll walk in front of you, you all of a sudden your bones won't be so fat anymore because you get upset about it. And you're not what exactly the pshat is, how this works. Perhaps it's pshat is that, when you're satisfied with where you are, and the good things are happening, Shmua Teva, so your body will, your natural tendencies of your body will get fattened. It will be in a good place. But when you see someone who bothers you, who gets on your nerves, so it affects your whole being. And therefore you lose the good thing, it's inherently a good thing, this tachi etzem, this fattening of the bone. And you see your enemy in front of you, that makes it go away. The chsiv ruach nachativ is burned, that dries out the bones. Aber hachi ayel. So he did this, and then he was able to put on the second shoe. Amalei me'achad dechak misay kule hai, meaning that you're so smart, Bechen ben Zakkai, kule hai ad idna amaylai asisi l'gaboy. Why didn't you answer me? I asked you a question before this whole thing happened, this last part here, where the messenger came and told him he's the king. Why didn't you answer me? We had a debate. You said, I asked you why didn't you come to me before, and you said, well, I didn't come to you because it's a barayinim, and I told you because there's a barrel with the honey and the snake, and you didn't answer me. So why didn't you answer me? I already answered you. His first answer was that the barayinim are stopping him. Yeah, right. The first question was, he said, why aren't you coming out? If you thought I was the king, then why didn't you come to me right away? So he answered, because the Bayan didn't let me. They didn't let me go. I would have come. I also answered you. He answered, you're right. You answered me that the Bayan was stopping you. But then I gave you the example with the barrel, and you didn't answer me. Why didn't you answer me if you're so smart? So what is going on over here? Why are we repeating this whole story over here? We went through this already, and now it seems like it's just a repeat. The Kuma Farshim that will give us an insight into what's going on over here. Masha says that Vespasian, he was asking Bechem ben Zakkai, I see now that you're so smart. I see the fact that you know about the feet getting fat and so on and so forth. So I see that you're a smart guy. So why couldn't you answer me? What happened over here? And Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said is, I answered you. I answered you is, you're right, I'm smart. But the Bayanim are also smart. That was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's answer. You want to know why I couldn't outsmart them? You think I'm smart, so why couldn't I outsmart them? The Bayanim are also smart. And we talk to see a raya that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai thought he was smart. Mashal doesn't say this, but we talk to see a raya. What's the raya? Because Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, when he gave the idea to Abba Sikra, I'm sorry, it was the other way around, but when we had the idea that Abba Sikra came with the idea that you should make sure to have who should carry the coffin? Only his Talmidim. Only your blessed and Yeshua. Why? Because Bayanim know that a dead person is heavier than light than a live person. A live person is light. So Rabbi Sikra was telling us already, and Bayanim Zakkai knew that you were dealing with smart people also. So the Vespasian is kind of, if you're so smart, why didn't you come up with a way and forget the Bayanim? He's answering the Osos. The Ben Ishchai says, unbelievable, the Ben Yehuda. What happened with him? We have a back and forth more than once. There's a marshal. Then he ever gives a marshal. He says, there was once a king who was having a contest of shooting an arrow. Arrow, see how accurate you can be in shooting a bow and arrow. So he drew a target, a big target, and the king, it's going to be the king against one of his wise men. So the king goes and shoots 10 arrows, let's say, and they all get within the circle. But all in different spots in the circle. None of them hit the bullseye, but they're all within the big circle. We have a big circle and then a bullseye. None of them hit the bullseye, but they're all within the circle. The Chacham comes, and he has a different circle and a bullseye. He shoots 10 arrows. Each and every one miss completely. Do not go in the circle at all, period. But they all hit the same exact spot. Each one, literally, they're all sticking out in the same hole. You got all 10 arrows sticking out. Same spot. So everyone says, oh, the king won, okay, wonderful. A little later, the king is talking to the Chacham, and he says, I didn't realize you were so bad. He was a little bit of a big shot, and I got, we're in the circle, maybe not a bullseye, but they were all in the circle. You didn't even get one in, I feel bad for you. So the Chacham says, you see that I got all of them in the same hole. You know that I know what I'm doing. I didn't want to embarrass you. You're the king. I wanted it to be that you get your covered. I saw what you did. I saw that you didn't get any bullseyes. I couldn't do it and go get bullseye. By the fact that I hit each and every one, literally in the same spot, should tell you, hey, 1 second. This guy really does know what he's doing, and he just did it for my cover. And the king says, you're right. And the king elevated him to a high position because Itaka has the proper covers for a king. Reichen ben Zakkai, he was saying is that if he's going to outsmart Vespasian, he realized that Vespasian had a kriya. Vespasian was now besieging the Yerushalayim. He was coming to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. So he says, you're right, I lost the Machlokes. And that's what he's answering over here. Reichen ben Zakkai says again, he says, and I answered you that I didn't answer. The answer that I'm answering is that I didn't answer you. You should know it's because of your covet. Do you want to know why I'm so smart? Vespasian is saying is, you're so smart. You didn't answer me. That's the best answer sometimes. Sometimes the best answer is letting the other person win, giving him his covet, and then he'll end up treating you nicely. And as we see immediately after, the Gemara is going to continue, but because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he doesn't say why, but he gave him, he asked him, what do you wish, and I will, you know, grant it to you. Let's roll the bite there. So now what happened? We have this part of the conversation is over. Omar Lei Mezel Azlina Vinishafrinim Mishadrina. Vespasian told him, I am going to be leaving and there's going to be another person coming here. I'm going to send somebody else. Now he's the king. Vespasian is now the Kesar. He's the head honcho. He's not going to be the one besieging Yerushalayim anymore. He's going to send someone else. But tell me, what do you want? Yeah. Tell me what you want. Amalei, Beichem and Zakkai said, tell me Yavna v'chachamah, give me Yavna and Zchachamim, v'shushilta the Rabbi Gamliel, and you should give me the progeny of Rabbi Gamliel, v'azvata the masin le'le Reb Tzadik, and he wanted the doctors for Reb Tzadik. Let's look at Rashi, the first narrow line, tell me Yavna, don't kill out Yavne, referring to the Chachamim, the Talmidei Chachamim who were learning. Rabbi Gamliel was Mishpachas Hanasi, was from the Nesiim of Klal Yisrael. Shaloi Tehargin, you shouldn't kill them either. Shaloi Tichla Shultanis Beis David. He didn't want the Beis David to be wiped out. He says, leave them. Leave Rabbi Gamliel and his family. Give me a doctor to heal Reb Tzadik. If you remember, we discussed Reb Tzadik fasted for 40 years. 40 years before the Churban Bayis. He was fasting and trying to save the Churban Bayis, trying to save the Beis Hamikdash. There shouldn't be a Churban Bayis. And he was a sick man because we said that when the Gemara told us that when he used to swallow something, he'd be able to see it in his throat on the outside, the food sticking out, because he was so gaunt because he didn't eat anything. He fasted for 40 years. Because his intestines got much smaller from all his fasting. And therefore he was not able to eat and he was a sick man. He needed to eat. So these were the three things that he asked for. Now why specifically these three things? Why did he ask for these three things? So the Maral says that Shekavanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Hoshe Shebez Chus Shloisha Devarim Elu Yishtachu Yisrova Yuchlu Hagoyim Lenatzon. He made a cheshbon. If these three things are saved, it will save the entire Klal Yisrael. Because Yavne Hachamer means the Koyach HaTeire. Reb Tzadik was the Koyach of Tfilah and Tainis. He davened and he was in Tainis for 40 years. Because of their leadership skills, the Nesiim of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, the Shloisha Koyachas Elo Yisrael Toikif Neged HaGoyim. V'anim Koyach HaTeire, Koyach HaTfilah, L'Hashem Yitzbarach, V'Koyach HaShivus M'sheh, Hinam Chashuv Miyosim. So these were the three things that he asked for, that he was hoping that would save Klal Yisrael. Now the question obviously is, the Maral is trying to answer, which everyone asks. Why didn't he just ask if Midrash shouldn't be destroyed? Vespasian said, I am the king now, I am the Kesar. I'm going to send someone else here. What do you want? He asked for three things. Why didn't he ask for the Beis Midrash? The Maral is explaining why he didn't ask.
It was a given that he was coming to destroy, this is what Hashem wanted, the Beis Midrash shouldn't be destroyed.
It's an excellent point that it could be that some of the mepharshim explain, what we emerge and talk about in a second, but that you're correct, that he knew that this was supposed to happen. The Beis Hamikdash had to be destroyed, but it doesn't mean every right. single right. detail had to happen.
Right. The Shabbat
yeah.
really,
was really good. Correct. Others say that's fakir. But in fact, what did the Vespasian tell him? He said, I am leaving, I am going back, but I'm sending someone else here. Vespasian was telling him, why would you tell him that? Who cares? He should have just said, by the way, what is this intro? He should have just said this, okay, what can I do for you? What is this intro? So some of the first explained, the intro is the Chorban is happening. I'm leaving, I'm sending someone else here. That's not the negotiations. There's no negotiation. You want to negotiate, I'm willing to give you something, but you should know up front that that's not the negotiation. Like we have with Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus kept on telling Esther, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus. I'm not letting you, this is based on Midrash, and the court knows in the first time, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus. I'm going to give you up to half the Malchus. That's not for negotiations. What do you want? Tell me what you want, but that you're not getting. That's why Birchim and Zakhar didn't answer it, according to some of them. I mean, the Gemara is going to talk about it, but let's continue the Gemara here. So, we had said before the same lashon of Kari Elah Rabbi Yosef V'Tamer Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was a Tana. Rabbi Yosef was an Amayra. Why does it say the Amayra before the Tana? It should really say the Tana before the Amayra. And then you have the answer because we're sure Rabbi Yosef said it. We're not sure Rabbi Kiva said it. So even though Rabbi Kiva was a Tana and Rabbi Yosef was an Amayra, we're going to first say the bar that we know Rabbi Yosef said it, and then we're going to go and say Rabbi Kiva. Which we said before, the same phrase that the Rebbeinu Shalom came, that he was Cain, he was a fool. But Yechon and Zakai did not ask for the Beis Hamikdash. Yechon and Zakai was scared that there's not going to be such a great, in other words, to get that the Beis Hamikdash won't be destroyed, that is, I'm not going to be able to accomplish. But maybe I can accomplish something, have a porta, something small. This Hatzala Porta, if you remember, also we just went through that Gemara in the bottom of the Amen, and the Hatzala Porta, it seems like Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, like you said, really, and I think that's really the pshat, when this whole thing started, and Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai called Abba Sikra, and Abba Sikra says, what do you want me to do? If I try to do anything, they're going to kill me. And Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, no, you should try, there can be Hatzala Porta, there can be a small Hatzala. So I think like you're saying is Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai knew the writing was on the wall. There was going to be a Chorban Beis Hamikdash. There was no turning back. It could be, yeah, we always know that. I feel a cherub, harav amanocha. Even if you had a sore on your throat, the Rebbein Shalom can always help, and you can always do tshuva. But he knew that at this point there was already gzeira that the Beis Hamikdash was going to be destroyed. So that wasn't his tafkid. His tafkid was to try to accomplish everything else possible that he could, aside from saving the Beis Hamikdash. And that was his cheshbon. He was actually trying to go. To go head on and save the Beis Hamikdash, that wouldn't have worked. But he's trying to have to save the Chachamim, which is the Koyach HaTayra, like Yisrael said.
He had big charata for giving this into him.
Huh?
He had major charata for giving Yavda. He wanted to come and get him, right?
Yeah.
This was usually asked for.
Yeah, these are big things. Yeah, right. He asked. He said, "Yabne, I didn't ask like one person.
Right.
Reb Tzadik seems like the least of them. Reb Tzadik, saving Reb Tzadik, you know, it seems like almost like because Reb Tzadik so much cared about Klal Yisrael, and for 40 years he fasted and davened, so he was trying to save him. He was one person. I mean, although Reb Tzadik, we have to realize that the Chachamei Hador are the ones that keep the Klal Yisrael going. There's actually an interesting, nice." Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think he was lived to his 90s, if I recall correctly. So they say he was a healthy man. Came out his whole life, he was a healthy man. And at the end of his life, he got sick. And at that point in time, he had, I guess it was a great-grandchild? I don't know. He had a grandchild or a great-grandchild who was learning in Panovich. And when he heard that his aide, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, was very sick, he ran to Shach. He wanted to go to Shach to get a bracha, to say, Davin's for Yaakov, and Davin's for my grandfather. The only problem was because Yaakov was not sick his whole life, he didn't remember what Yaakov's mother's name was. This is a grandchild. We're going back 3-4 generations, and he's like, I'm going to go ask Shach to go Davin for Yaakov then. He didn't know her name. So he went through a whole search. He was calling it, all his family members, this, that, and I was like, no, I don't know. No, finally he tracked down. Her name was Elka. Rabbi Yaakov ben Elka. He comes running into Rishach and tells Rishach, you know, Rabbi Rishach says, oh, he knew who he was. He says, oh, how's his aide doing? He says, he's very sick. If the Rosh Hashiva can please daven for him, he says, yep, we have to get up and daven right away for Rabbi Yaakov ben Elka. He stops. He didn't tell Rishach it was Rabbi Yaakov ben Elka. Rishach knew right away Rabbi Yaakov ben Elka. He says, a little while later, he got the courage to ask Rishach, pardon my ass, sorry for asking, I'm sure this, but how do you know my Vader's mother's name? You know Rabbi Yaakov ben Elka, you're going to daven for Rabbi Yaakov ben Elka, how do you know? He says, many, many years ago, I met Rabbi Yaakov, and I knew that he was the one that's going to keep America alive. Klal Yisrael needed him. I davened for him every day. Every day I found out then his name. And every single day I davened for Yaakov ben Elka. That's why I know his name. You see, unbelievable that we don't realize that the Gadol Hador is what keeps the generation going. You don't even realize that. Rishach was the Gadol Hador, no question. And he was davening for Rabbi Yaakov because he knew Rabbi Yaakov. The Klal Yisrael needed Rabbi Yaakov. And he was there to live 90 plus. But we needed Rabbi Yaakov. The Koyach of the Tfilas are so strong. Maybe that's why Rabbi Yaakov lived in the 90s. I don't know. So you see, Reb Tzadik was for 40 years. He was fasting, Matinus, and he was davening. It's like a tremendous chus, which maybe what prolonged. It doesn't say. Maybe that's what prolonged the whole korban was delayed for 40 years. Maybe in the chus of Reb Tzadik, maybe it lasted 40 years and then it just ended up. As Master the Master and later Reb Tzadik continuing the Gemara, Mayi, what was the remedy for Rav Tzadik? Rav Tzadik was sick and he asked for doctors and he was given it. Yoyim HaKama Ashkevei Maya Depari Lamocha Maya Dekukha Lamocha Maya Dekimcha Ad Deravach Miyaya Porta Porta, until he finally was able to eat piece by piece. So basically is that he started him off with a very, very thin liquid with a little bit of something in it, and then he kept on going every single time after he got used to that. Basically it's in stages. You know, you have a baby which, you know, is starting to eat, you know, solids. You don't just give the baby solid. You first give him little pieces in it and then bigger pieces. So first he gave him a water that was very thin until he kept on getting it ready, until porta porta, it sounds... it sounds simplistic. That's what the Gemara is saying. Yeah. It's a melchikas, but your question is, how could he live for 40 years? It says that when the Gemara said in the Amud before that when he ate a fig, it said that he used to take the fig and used to just suck out the juice. And when he ate something, he'd be able to see it in his throat. He'd be able to see the food on the outline of his throat because he was so gone. That's what it says. The Gemara in Amr Aleph, it says that's what he used to do, is to suck out the figs. It seems that he didn't eat. And the remedy is, he was a very sick man. And the remedy was that you should drink the stuff that has small solids, put in a little bit of flour into the water, put a little of this and that, until you're able to, you know, start eating small pieces of things. Also, you know, this is the next piece. All right, let's stop over here. So if you go to the parasha. Re'ei, Parshas Re'ei begins. Re'ei, Yonoichi Noisein Levneichem Hayoim Bracha Uklola. Many, many ask. Many ask. Re'ei should look, see, is a Lashon Yachid. Yonoichi Noisein Levneichem in front of you is a Lashon Rabban. Why does the Pasuk start off with a Lashon of Yachid and go to a Lashon Rabban? The Kotzki Rebbe said that the pshat is re'ei. When you have the Torah, the bracha and klola, how do we get the bracha and klola? It's by following the Torah. When the Torah was given, it was one Torah that was given to the entire Klal Yisrael. It was ke'echad, ke'ishechad, b'leivechad, one person. The Torah came from the Bnei Shalom through Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. But anoichi noisein lifneichem hayoyim. Each person on his own madrega, then it goes into individuality. Every person is a rabbin. Every person has what to take out of the Torah. It says in the Zohar, Yisrael, the Rosh HaTevis, Yesh Shishim Riba Isis Batera. There are 613 mitzvahs later, Yisrael. There are 613 Isis in the Torah. Can I get the 613 in Klal Yisrael? 600,000 school, I'm sorry. 600,000. 600,000 in Klal Yisrael, the 600,000. Every person in Klal Yisrael represents one Is. Each person has an identity in the Torah of Torah itself. And that's why it says, you should know, the Torah came to Klal Yisrael as one. But each one has to work on extrapolating what he's supposed to do with the Torah, how he's supposed to act. Not everyone's supposed to do the same exact thing. That's very stupid in the class. Some Sefer says that it's teaching us that each individual should know, you can have an effect on the entire Rabban of Klal Yisrael. We know, getting into El, we know that the person, every time he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah and aveira, he has to say is, if he does one mitzvah, that's chatzi chayev, chatzi zakeh. There's a half the world, there's a half mitzvah, and it's exactly equal right now. The scale is perfectly balanced. If you do one mitzvah, the whole world is going to be zchus because of you. And it's chatzi shalom, you do one aveira, the entire world is going to be chayev. So the pasuk is telling us this, he said in some favor, says, hey, you should know on an individual level, each and every one of us can have an effect on the whole entire world. You have to be cognizant of that. Person shouldn't think, who am I? I'm one person. There's so many other people. Let them do the mitzvahs. The world will keep going, and I don't worry about me. No, each person has a shaykhus. It says in the Vilna Goyim, he says, Noisin is a lashon hayva. Why does it say a lashon hayva? It should say nosan. I gave to you, this is the giving of the Torah, I gave to you today, brachu klala. He's saying there's no saying that each and every day, each and every moment, it's a constant giving. Everyone has opportunity to get bracha now or get klala now. A person shouldn't think that, what I did last year or yesterday or 10 minutes ago, I did an aveira, or for that matter, I did a mitzvah. I'm good now. I'm on a good streak over here. Don't worry about it. No. Every minute, the person always has the same, everyone has the opportunity to take bracha, or he has the opportunity, chas v'shalom, to take klala. Perhaps we can, this yisayit over here, of a rabbin to a yachid, what we're discussing in the Gemara. When we said again, this hatzala porta, there are times that you, Rechem and Zakai could have said, for me to accomplish saving the Churban Beis Hamikdash, I can't do it. It's not going to happen. For whatever the reason, we discussed various reasons why he won't be able to do it, be it because the Vespasian was saying is, it's too late, I'm not giving you that option, and we're going to surround the city, I'm sending someone else, or because it was Gzara Din already, whatever it is, Rechem and Zakeh didn't give up. He called in his nephew Abba Sikra, the Rosh Bayonim, he says, let's try something. I don't have to accomplish everything. There's many things out there that a person can do. There's lifneichem. There's thousands and thousands. There's myriads of mitzvahs and opportunities for us to do good things. Take it on an individual basis. Don't think you have to accomplish everything at once. There are times that a person thinks that, if I can't do everything, if I can't be a godel hador, if I can't do everything right, then I'm not going to do anything. Take the small things even. Take the individual, the singular mitzvahs, the things that you can grasp onto, the ones that you can grab onto, the ones that you can accomplish, that also has a shaykhus, that also is accomplishment, and that's Atzala Porta. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. If you want to get bracha, you want to get klala, it goes in steps. It doesn't jump. It says in the Noram Alinoach, the Gemara in Bracha says that when a person davens, if a person is in Chutz Laretz, he should daven towards Eretz Yisrael. When he's in Eretz Yisrael, he should daven towards Yerushalayim. When he's in Yerushalayim, he should daven towards the Beis HaMikdash. When he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he should daven towards the Kodesh HaKodesh. Effect in the name of the Melech. Why doesn't it just tell us, daven towards the Kodesh HaKodesh? What do we have to this whole thing here? Daven here. Tell me once, that's it. Everyone face the Kodesh HaKodesh. So Meir Melech says, is because a person has to know in Ruchnius, it goes step by step. If you're on the Madrega of Chutz Laretz, don't face the Chatzah Kachin yet. It's not going to happen. Face Eretz Yisrael. Try to go one Madrega. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, now you're in Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about Madregas and Ruchnius. now face Yerushalayim. When you get to the Madrega of Yerushalayim, you should now face the Beis Hamikdash and so on and so forth. It goes in the Madregas. Re'ei, each of us have the opportunity, one by one, take small things. You have to take it. We're coming to El. Next week is El. El is the time for Kabbalah. It's not a huge Kabbalah. Not something that we're not going to be able to keep. But to take a small Kabbalah, each one, every year, every time we can, take another Kabbalah, which will build up, which we say, to see that we're building the Beis Hamikdash from Hebi Menu Omni. Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, two lines before the lines get very wide. And you're going to start, the first word on the line is Ad, middle of the line, there's a dot there. Ozal, got it? Ozal Shadriel, he is a Rasha. So Vespasian went back, Ozal, he went back, and he sent Titus a Rasha. V'omar, and it said on him, Eyalei, Kemai Tzur Chasu Yiboi. And he wanted to know where the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is, where's your God? Tzur Chasiboy, the rock, the tzion, that you take refuge in. Zeh Titus HaRasha. This pasuk is talking about Titus HaRasha. What did he do? Shechirev v'gidev klapei maila. He insulted the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and he blasted him. He cursed him. Ma'asa. What exactly did Titus do? Tofar Zaina, he took a Zaina, Biyadai, Vinichnas the base Kotche Akotchim, and he went into the Kotche Akotchim with the Zaina, Vihitsiya Sefer Teira, and he spread out a Sefer Teira, V'over Allah Avera, so he did an Avera of Znus in the Kotche Akotchim with the Zaina on a Sefer Teira. Vinot al Saif, and he took a sword, V'gider as a Pareches, and he slashed the Pareches. V'nas a neis, and a neis happened, v'hoyadam mevatzveitz v'yetze, and the blood came spurting out. Ukasavar, harag es atzmoy, and he thought that he killed atzmoy, kaviyat the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Shenema ashragu tzairecha b'kar ma'idecha shamoy ashmoy oiseisam oiseis. The roar of the enemies b'kar ma'idecha in his time, shmoy oiseisam oiseis. Oiseisam, a lotion of, this is a sign that he killed kaviyat the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He was convinced he killed Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Abachon Amar Micha Meicha Chasen Kam Micha Meicha Chasen VeKasha. Me who is behold is this great Gibor Chasen is a Gibor strong Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Micha Meicha Chasen VeKasha who is very tough. Shat LeShemeya because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam heard Niatzu VeGidufa Shel Oisei Rasha. He heard the insults and the clawers, the cursing of this Rasha VeShoisik and he was quiet. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Micha Meicha Balikim Hashem Micha Meicha BeIlamim. BeIlamim he says the lashon of Ilam of being an Ilam means a mute that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't respond. Now let's talk about this a little bit over here. What happened? There's an unbelievable Ben Ishchai here. The Ben Ishchai has a question. Ben Yehuda says, "He says I don't understand. A nace happened, and the blood came out of the parochas." He says, generally when we say a nes, a miracle happened, Klal Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim, it was a nes, it was a makis. It's a good thing, here we go. A nes, Klal Yisrael was a nes by Hanukkah, there was a nes, God will have you a shom, a nes by Nisim, the Flores, they're positive. What's good about this? And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made a nes, and we know that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam only does things that are, he generally, Rebbeinu Shel Olam tries to keep things in Teva, unless there's a reason for it. What is the reason that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made a quote unquote a miracle that made the blood come out? This is his question. So he says there's two reasons why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam protects Klal Yisrael always and will not destroy them. Two reasons. Number one, because if he destroys Klal Yisrael, and there's Klal Yisrael is Rebbeinu Shel Olam's nation, so it's going to be a taina on the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. See? Yeah, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the God of the world, his nation is the Jews, and we were able to destroy the Jews. So that would be a bezoyin to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, so therefore the Rebbeinu Shel Olam would never let it happen. However, when Klal Yisrael are not doing right by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and not following the Ratzon Hashem, and they're not Ke'ein, they sort of lose that connection as being the nation of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So the nations of the world are not going to say, oh look, the Jews, who are God's nation, lost. No, the Jews have nothing to do with God anymore. So unfortunately at this point in time, Klal Yisrael were in a very low madrega, that the connection was lost. One reason. Number two is because when you have, if a goy is going to go and curse the Rebbeinu Shalom and be mechar from a god of the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's a reason not to let it, because that's taka bizarre to the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's up to Ben Yoyada. If this wouldn't have happened, Titus wouldn't have happened, that the blood would have come out, Titus would never have cursed the Rebbeinu Shalom. Titus, before, when Titus started this whole conquest, Titus knew that the Rebbeinu Shalom, there was a decree, a gzeir against Klal Yisrael, that the Beis Hamikdash was going to be destroyed. So he took a zayin. It's a terrible chet for someone to take a zayin, but he was saying, the Titus was saying, yeah, but the Jews were kaviyachal doing the same thing. They didn't respect the kachi kachim either. So I did this. He wasn't doing it against Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shalom did was he made a nes. What's the nes? What's the miracle? That because of that, he said, oh, one second, he, this, all of a sudden he changed. He took the sword and he stabbed the Pereches and blood came. I said, oh, look, I killed God. Then he started cursing God. He thought he killed him. Now it's right that he should get destroyed and Klal Yisrael shouldn't. So the nace, the miracle, the good thing that happened for Klal Yisrael, Rebbeinu Shalom made this out of Teva, that Pereches should have blood coming out of it, so he should think that he killed Rebbeinu Shalom. And therefore, cursed Rebbeinu Shlomo, and therefore, the Klal Yisrael be saved. So that was the nes. Unbelievable, Ben Yehuda. It's an interesting word, the nes. A little bit further, we say, very interesting, that we see, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is quiet. Right? Rebbeinu Shlomo is quiet. I said this over in the parasha share a few weeks ago, it's so appropriate over here. Unbelievable. Dr. Shlomo Kluger. What does it mean when we say we're coming into Elul and we know that we're going to go into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? If someone does tshuva me'ahava, he turns his averus into zchuyas. He did an avera, he does tshuva, and now it's a zchus for him. Well, how does that work? He says it's mamash leseichel. He says Dr. Shlomo Kluger. So he explains. You know what the pshat is? The pshat is, it says the Gemara tells us that we have Yirmiyah and Daniel. Yirmiyah and Daniel, they wanted to take out two words in Shemoneh Esrei. We say in Davening Shemoneh Esrei three times a day, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, VaHaNeira. Gibor is the mighty, the Neira is the awesome. Ayik Virosai, Ayik Neirosav. Daniel and Yirmiyah says, we're in Golos. Where's the Rebbeinu Shalom's Gevura? We don't see it. Where's the Rebbeinu Shalom's Neirosav? We don't see it. There's no Beis HaMikdash. We're in Golos. We don't see it. They wanted to take it out of the Davening. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Gemara says, the reason why they call the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was because they reinstituted it. They said, you want to know where's the Rebbeinu Shalom's Gevura? Well, Ayei Gevurasa, Ayei Neirosa, the biggest Gevura and Neir you can show, the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't punish them. That's the biggest, that the Rebbeinu Shalom allowed that to happen. Think about it. The Rebbeinu Shalom runs the world. If someone does something, against the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Rebbeinu Shalom could do a myriad of things to wipe the person out. Rebbeinu Shalom is quiet. He doesn't act right away. That shows the awesomeness and the power of the Rebbeinu Shalom. He doesn't have that. If someone comes and then goes and fights a melech, a boss of a dom, he has to show his glory. He has to fight back right away. That's how he shows it. The Rebbeinu Shalom is all powerful. He controls everything in this world. So it would make sense, you would think, that he automatically does. No, but that shows his greatest gevura and neira. That when he's going to destroy, and the Rebbeinu Shalom decides now is time, immediately that's when everything happens. And that's why it says in Parshas V'Schan that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. He wants to show the Gevurah of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Effective Shlomo Kluger, what's the Gevurah in the Rebbeinu Shalom by allowing Moshe Rabbeinu to go into Eretz Yisrael? Why is that the Gevurah? If you want to say Moshe said, I want to be able to destroy the Laman Aleph Malachim, that's one thing, but why is that? So Dr. Shlomo Kluger, the pshat is because the whole reason that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going in was because of the chet, whatever the chet was, the Meriva hitting the rock, whatever that was. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you're right, Rebbeinu Shalom, I don't deserve to go in. I did a chet and I shouldn't go in. You wonder how you could show your gevurah, Rebbeinu Shalom, if you let me in anyways and you don't punish me, that shows the Rebbeinu Shalom's gevurah. In fact, you're saying when a person, when he does it, he does tshuva. After he did the chet, now he comes back and does tshuva. So the Rebbeinu Shalom says, oh, now, the fact that you did a chet before and I didn't punish you right away, and even if there was something happened, but it wasn't the complete, Rebbeinu Shalom could do it myriads, and he didn't, now that you do tshuva me'ahava, you're turning that you created in the world, Gvura and the race of the Rebbeinu Shalom. People saw the Gvura. The Klal Yisrael did a chet and the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't destroy Klal Yisrael. By the fact that we weren't destroyed, that's a gevura in the Neir of the Rebbe Shalom. If we now do tshuva, we get that schus that we created the gevura and the Neir. If we don't do tshuva, then Elamayis said we're not in the Rebbe Shalom's good standing, so he's not going to change that. But if we now do tshuva, we get the schusim, and we turn what we did that very before into schusim. Let's go right there. Now, Asa, what did he do? Not the parashas was so committed in Gar Goisni. He made it the parashas. He took the parashas. He wanted to go back and show everyone that he killed God. That's what he said. Oh, you see, it's a bleeding parashas. So that's why he took that specifically. He made it into like a wine carrier, into like a little thing that you can carry other stuff. Mehedi called Kalim Shiva Mikdash, and he took all the Kalim of the Mikdash. Ve'enichan behen, and he put them in the parashas. Ve'shivan besvina leilach l'shabeach be'iray, and he took them down back on the boat. So he could be mishabeach, and he should be praised in the city. Shenemar b'chein reisi rishon kvurim ubom v'makom kadoshi yalechu v'yishtachu b'ir shekein asu. That he was going to come back and show the rishon that this is what he took out of the makom. He came went to the makom hamikdash, the beis hamikdash, and he took out everything. The forgotten city. It's no longer a city that anyone cares about, and he conquered it. Al tikri kvurim. Do not say the word means kvurim. Ela kivutzim, which means gathered. That he gathered them. Al tikri v'yishtachu el v'yishtachu. That he wanted to be praised. Not that we're talking about the city, but rather that he wanted to be praised that he conquered the city. Even things that were hidden. There were treasures that were hidden in Yerushalayim. The matamim mamonim shal Yisrael zakrashi. The treasures of Klal Yisrael, the money of Klal Yisrael, were all revealed to him, and he took everything. He was a very successful tanker. Omar alav nachshel shevayam l'tevay. When he was on this boat, a hurricane came that was threatening to capsize the boat. Omar, kimedumani shelehayim shel elu ein v'rasay elabamayim. Their God is only on the water. Bo paray tava b'mayim. How did they get rid of paray? With the water. Bo sister tava b'mayim. Afu ayim alayat ein mayim. So this same God of the Jews, he's fighting me on the water. Im gibor. If this God of the Jews is really a gibor, let him fight me a war on the dry land. Yotze Sabaska v'amrloi Russia ben Russia ben benoy shel Esav Russia. Your mamish said this is he's referring to Titus. Ber yekala yeshli berlami. I have a small bria. The Yitoshma, and the Yitosh is his name. Yitosh is a gnat. I might carry a beriakala, the ma'alne isla umufankalesla, because it ingests, it takes things in, it digests, it takes things in its mouth, but it has nothing comes out of its body. It does not have a digestive system to push things out of its body. Aluya basha, batasa imam lachama, aluya basha, ba'itesh v'nichnas b'choitmai, this when he came onto dry land, this gnat went into his nose, the knockab of Mecha Shevashan, and it picked away at his brain for 7 years. He was one day walking by the smith. It was a smith, that was banging. And when he heard that, when the sound of the hammer banging, ishtik, the gnat stopped. Omar Ikit the Kanta, he said, oh, I have a remedy. Kol Yoyim Amaisi Nafcha Mochu Kameil Nachri Yile Arba Zuzi Shalom Lei Mesayach the Chaz Besanach. Every day he would have someone come and bang with a hammer. If it was a guy, he would give him 4 zuz. And for Yisrael, he would say, you're doing it for free. You know why? Because you're seeing that I'm in such pain. That's worth, that has value, and you're going to do it for free. He did this for 30 days. Once the gnat got used to the sound, it said it wasn't impressed anymore, and it continued to pick at his brain. A few things on what we just said. Number one, it's interesting that he says that Titus says, oh, he says, the water, the God of, he's only able to fight on the water. One of the Mefarshim say that, you know why he didn't want to fight in the water? Because sorcery and things of that sort, avoid desires, have no koyach on the water. And that's a known thing, it's put down in the Gemara. It's a very interesting pasuk in Parashat Va'era. Pasuk says, V'soru ha-tzvardim mimcha u'mivotecha u'mivodecha u'miyamecha. Rak by your ur tisharna. So when Moshe Rabbeinu had the second Makkah, the frogs came. Paro asked for it to be taken away. It's going to be taken away. But what was left over? Pasuk tells us, why do we need to know this? Rak by Ya'arti Sharna. There were frogs left in the river. Everything else left. All the frogs that were in the rachas and the ovens and that, all over, gone. They all left. The frogs in the earth were left there. Why? So it's the same reason. Avodah Zarah, Kishuv, does not work in water. It doesn't work. So the reason why Moshe said is that the frogs in the Ya'ar are going to stay there is to remind you, didn't help, he went to the third mark anyways, but to remind the Mitzrayim, remind Paroi, this is not Kishuv. This is not, because the Koyach of Kishuv, they can't do it. They can make frogs on the land, but in the water they can't do it. And that's why it says, Rak by Ya'ar Tishan. Why a neck? A Yitosh? A Yitosh is a very small little thing, a little creature. And it says that the Medrash that says that if a person does the will of the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Adam Rishon was created on the sixth day. So many Mefarshim ask, why wasn't Adam created on the first day? So it says the reason why Adam was the last thing to be created was because if a person does the Ratzon Hashem, then we say the whole world was created for you. The reason why you're the last part of the creation was because everything else needed to be created, and now that the world is ready, now we're going to put you in it. Others say but what happens if someone does not do the Ratzon Hashem? Then Nitesh Kalamach, you should know, the gnat, which is a tiny little creature, was created before you. It's more important than you. So the Yitesh specifically came to show Titus, you think you're a Balgaiva, you think you're a nobody, you're a nothing, and the Yitesh is going to be what's going to cause you so much pain and so much time. Another thing more right there. Wait one second, here we go. 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, about 7 lines in the bottom. Tanya Amara Pinchas Ben Aruba Ani Isi Ben Gedolei Romi. I was amongst the Gedolei Romi of Rome. Ukishemes, and when Titus died, Patsu as Meichai, they sliced open his head, his brains, Umatsubai, Kitsipur, Jerur, Mishkosh, Islam, and they found a Yitosh, a gnat, the size of a tzipor, Jerur, Mishkosh, Islam, a way too slum. Masnisan Tana, Kigarzel, Ben Shana, that there was something that there was a Gerzel, a pigeon, that was a Ben Shana, that was a year old, Mishkosh, Islam, that weighed too litrim. So this gnat became very big, apparently from maybe eating the brain of Titus, whatever it is, became very big, and it was definitely very damaging to Titus. That his mouth was the mouth of the Yitosh, the gnat, was of copper, and the nails was of barzel, of iron. Before when Titus was about to die, Amalahu, he said, Likluye lahu gavra, burn that person. He's talking about himself. Burn me. I want you to spread me over 7 yam and spread me over. Take my ashes. You should gather my ashes and you should spread it out. Because I'm scared that the God of the Jews is gonna get me and they're gonna put me in judgment. So therefore spread me out over 7 seas and they have no shaykhs to touch me. Unculus bar Kleinikos, bar Achasidatitis, Unculus, who was the son of Plinicus, who was the Bar, the son of the sister of Titus, how he boyly Giura, he wanted to become a Ger. Also asked Titus Benegida, he went to visit Titus Benegida with Kishuv, with Rashi, with Oiv, means, you know, necromancy, to bring them back, you know, from the grave to talk to them. Amalei, so he said, Imkulis said to Titus, "Man chasher bahu alma. Who is chasher in that world, in the world to come?" Amalei said to him, "Yisrael, Yisrael is mahu leduke bahu. Should it be something that is kedai that I should attach myself to them?" Amalei milayu nefishin, but he must have the community. They have many, many mitzvahs, and you're not going to be able to be mekayim them. Zil, and so I'll give you an etzah. Igri buhu bahu alma, you should bahav yisrael reish, you should go, igari, you should go fight them. You should become their enemies. Because the yisrael reish, their enemies become reish, they become leaders. Kala meitzah yisrael, whoever is a meitzah, is against klai yisrael, nasi reish, they become leaders. Amalei, uncle has said to Titeis, Dinei dahu gamim mai, what was the din, what was the gzar din with this person, meaning what happened to you? Amalei, so Titeis answered, my deposit anafshe, when I tried to nikli ubedari kitma, what I tried to do, it was midi kineged midi. What I tried to accomplish, that I, what did he do? That he had himself burnt into ashes and spread out. So what happened? Kol yayma, every day, mechanshile, they gather all my ashes, lekitme, mechanshile, lekitme, they gather all the ashes, kitme's ashes, vedainile, and they judge me. Vekalu, and they burn me. So exactly what they spread me throughout the 7 days. The 7 days they spread me out. So basically, yamim, the seven yamim. So exactly what he tried to, in other words, he thought he was going to outsmart the burn shalom at the last step. He's going to have them burnt, and he's going to have this ashes spread out over 7 seas. Every day it gets gathered back together, and then it gets burnt, and then it gets spread out. But it didn't happen anyways. Also, Unkelus went, Askele Bilam, Benegida, he went to speak to Bilam the same way, with Oy, like we said before. Amalei, man Chashiv Ahu Alma, who is Chashiv Ahu Alma in that world? Amalei answered him, Yisrael, Mahu Leid Buke Buhu, should I attach myself to them? Amalei, Loi, Sidro, Shloimam, Betevasim Kalyam. Don't get involved with them, not for Shalom, not for peace, not for good, stay away from them. What was the gzar din on you, on that gavra from this person we're talking about? He's talking about himself again, about Bilam over here. He's burning and boiling shikhla zera. Zok Rashi, top Rashi, b'shichla zera b'sachas, mida k'neged mida shibat, so soy, hizchala om, liznais abnais mayav, because it was his idea to get the noshim of Midyon to go and be Mizana with Klal Yisrael, to have to do Shichla Zer, and therefore, because of that, he had to be in Shichla Zer, boiling Shichla Zer, that was his punishment. Azal Aske Benegida LePoishe Yisrael, he went to Poishe Yisrael, to those who rebel against the Ribono Shel Olam. Amalei Man Choshev Bahu Alma, who's important in that world? Amalei Yisrael, Amalei. I'm sorry. Mahu Laduke Buhu. Should I attach myself to them? Amalei Tevasim Droi Shu Asim LeSidroi. You should attach yourself to the good of them, but not to the bad. Kolamigeya Behen Ki Ilu Noiga Bebas Einay. Someone who attaches himself to them is bad for his eyesight. In other words, he's causing bad for himself. Amalei Dina Deu Gavi Mai, what's the judgment of him? Amalei Betzeya Reshachas, with excrement that's boiling. The Amamar, Mar says, Kol Hamalig Aldive Chacham, whoever is Malig, whoever is Maligim, he denigrates the word of the Chachamim, Nidain Betzeya Reshachas. He is judged with burning, with boiling tzaya. Toch aziv ma ben poishe Yisrael and Nevi'e Umas Oilem Avdei Avad Nizara. We see the difference between the Nevi'e Umas Oilem Avad Nizara that Rashi says, if you look at the second line, narrow line, Nevi'e Umas Oilem Avad Nizara, Bilam, Sheshchein, Niglas Alar, V'yeshia L'davar. Bilam had the opportunity. He had Nevu'ah from the Ribono Shel Olam, and even he went to Rishus. Tanya Amar Belaza, boy, you a kama gedoyla koicha shel boisha. Come look at the tremendous koyach of busha, of being embarrassed. Shevei siyaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bar kamsa, Ribono Shel Olam helped bar kamsa, v'hichrev es beisoi, and he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, v'sarav es heichelai, and he burnt the heichel. So this is the story of kamsa ubar kamsa. This is the end of the story here. The Gemara went through a whole story about how we know we started in the beginning of the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, that he did a terror, that there was an embarrassment, that Kamsa would not let Bar Kamsa say, and because of the power of Busha, Ribono Shel Olam allowed, again, this was not the reason for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but this was the last brick. This was the, you know, this broke the camel's back, as they say. Let's see a little bit on the parasha, just a few minutes. Parasha Zrei. Hapikl tezvav pasig zayin. Kiyye v'cho evyoin. Me'achad achecho ba'achad sharecho. Did you have an evyoin, a poor person, a destitute person? Me'achad achecho from one of your brethren, me'achad sharecho from one of your cities. Ba'artzecho asher hashem lekecho noisen loch, v'yisa ameis et levavcho, v'yisik pois et yotcho me'achich evyoin. We have two lashonos. V'yisa ameis et levavcho. Okay, you shouldn't harden your heart. Relay sick plates as yotcha, and you should not clench your hands. Me'achicha evin, from your brother that's evin. What is the, is it the same thing? Does it mean two things? Zup the stipler. There should be, to understand the pasuk, there's like a comma. Ki yevcha evin me'achad achecha. If there is an evin me'achad achecha, one of your brothers, comma, ba'achat sharecha, or in one of your cities, or. That means the two different people, aniyim, avyanim, we can be talking about. There are avyanim, he says, that they don't walk around and make it public knowledge that they don't have money. It could be your next door neighbor, it could be your relative. They don't walk around collecting publicly, but you know they don't have money. That's one type of person. Then there's ba'achat sharecha. A person in your city, it could be anybody, a person going out collecting, he's walking around, he's two times Cheshavos, whatever it is, he walks around collecting, everyone knows, you don't know him personally per se, but he's Ba'achat Sherecha. And the Pasuk, Loi Sa'amis Es Levavcha, you shouldn't harden your heart, comma, this is going on the first case. You shouldn't harden your heart me'achad achecha. If you know somebody who is, you know that he's poor, you know that he lost his money, and he was of a certain status of in the community, and he lost his money, you should not harden your heart, which means you should give him as much as you can. Give him as much as you possibly can. Don't harden your heart. Keep your heart open. Give him as much as you can. The second one is v'lo yisik pais et yadcha. You shouldn't close. You shouldn't clench your fists. You shouldn't close your hands. That's talking about ba'achat sharecha. Someone already who is public, who walks around, and he's collecting money. So you should certainly give him, but it's not as great of a degree of have a chiyuv of tzedakah. Of course, if you can give him a lot of money, he gives him to hate. But at least you have to give him something. You shouldn't clench your fist. You should just give him something. But it's not on the same madrega of the first person who is your, you know that he's going to be embarrassed. And perhaps this is the pshat over here. We just ended it. Busha. A person already, he's already, unfortunately, Nebuch. He's a poor person, and he's already Mavai, he's already walking around. That's one level, you should help him. But the person who's not known yet, and he's a poor person, and he's going to have to be embarrassed if you're not going to help him, and people won't help him, he's going to have to go start collecting money, so then you have a bigger chiyuv to provide for. There's Rabbi Chanan, a maimer on Tshuva. He says, the Gemara Baba Kama tells us, there were Rishon who wanted to kill Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah davened to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, v'yu mishlochim lefanecha beis akcha asei lohem. The Gemara explains that Yirmiyah requested the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that whenever these people, they were rich people, whenever they give money, it should be to people shalei kohagin that don't really need the money. Fake collectors. They shouldn't give money to the collectors, the good collectors. The Gemara tells us in Brachas and Davar that Rashi says that if one considered, he thought about fulfilling a mitzvah, he gets the schar if he did it. What was Yirmi davening for? He was davening that these rich people who wanted to kill him, that any time they give tzedakah to someone, it should be, they shouldn't be real on him. What is he accomplishing? If they're giving tzedakah to the ani, even if he's not an ani, if someone gives tzedakah, and he has das to give tzedakah, and the person that ends up not being ani, he still gets chai, the Gemara tells us. So then what was he accomplishing? So Chan explains an unbelievable you say. There's two parts to every mitzvah, and there's two parts to every avera. The part of a mitzvah is that there's a, if someone does a mitzvah, an actual mice of a mitzvah, someone gives tzedakah, to an ani, to a poor person. If he gives it to a not a poor person, it's not the real mitzvah. He tried, but it wasn't mekayim mitzvah. If someone gives money to an ani, he was mekayim mitzvah. That creates a tikkun in this world. How that works, we don't know, but there's a tikkun, something was corrected, was misakin in this world. That's one. The second aspect of a mitzvah is to do the Ratzon Hashem. The Baruch Shalom told me to get stuck. If I get stuck on it, because the Baruch Shalom told me, so I'm being Mekayim the mitzvah right away. So the highest form of being Mekayim mitzvah is if I want to do a mitzvah of giving stuck, and I give it to Takan Oni, so now I have both. I'm being Mekayim the Ratzon Hashem, and I also created a ticket in this world, I did everything. The flip side, if someone does an Aveira, you do an Aveira, you cause a klal in the world, you cause something bad to happen in this world. Aside from that, you rebelled against the Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem told you not to do that Aveira, and you did it. So there's two things. What happened over here that we have that Yirmiyah Davin, Yirmiyah says, listen, I know these guys. They're a sham through and through. You know why they're giving stucca? Not because they want to kind the words of Hashem. They're giving stucca because they want to look good. They want people to say, oh, those gevir and those rich guys, they give money. Not because they want to be kind. So now, if these people are going to give to people that are not real on the end, they'll get nothing. They won't get this life, because
if they give to him, at least they
have a ticket. That's correct. Yirmi says that they should not be entitled to get a schutz to the ticket. And that's what he said by other Marishan. Other Marishan, Davin, he did a chet. Right? The chet eats adas. And what happened? We're still missing in the world. Why is the missing in the world? Tshuva! We believe in tshuva! What happened? Ochanan says, of course there was tshuva. But the tshuva only helped in the merida, in the rebellion. The rebellion was that he was married, the Baruch Shalom said, don't eat from the Eitzadas, and he ate it. He didn't listen, he rebelled against the Baruch Shalom. So that, he gets a tshuva for. The Baruch Shalom says, yeah, okay. But he caused a kilkel in this world. Not every time can you change a kilkel. He created something in this world, that now there's misa in the world. So that is what Yirmiyah was trying to accomplish. Perhaps we can say in the next pasuk it says, "Kipasayach tiftach es yod chalo." You should open up your hand. What's this double lashon of pasayach tiftach? This is the pshat. Pshat is pasayach tiftach. You should open up your hands two ways. You should open up your heart. You should do it with the right das, and you should also do it that you should want it. We have to work on it. And halach not a parsha to give money to an ani. You want to give a large donation. You should really look into the tzedakah. Make sure that it's a proper tzedakah. So paseach tzedakah can either mean is you should give to both of these people, the person who is me'achad achecha v'achad shereacha, either one. Or you can say, like we're saying over here, that you should paseach tiftach. First of all, you should give tzedakah, try to give it to an ani. But more than that, the second paseach is that you should open up your heart. Because that's the ikar. It comes in and goes out. We're saying over here, this whole Yisrael of Tifis over here, we're talking about a yitosh. It says a yitosh takes food in, but there's no excrement, it doesn't go out. Tita started off, the Rebbein Shalom wanted a Churban Beis Hamikdash. He started off with the right kavana. What happened? He stabbed the Parechas, blood came out, oh, I killed the Rebbein Shalom. Now we lost everything. We have to work on even when we do mitzvahs, we have to work on it. When we have El now, the time to work on doing things properly, and our avodas Hashem should be better, we have to work on having the proper kavanas. And Mishtake B'Zoicha, to see the rebuilding of the Bayis Shlishi, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, from Hei B'Yameinu Amen.